Nearly $2 billion worth of ETH was collected by Plus Token, a Ponzi scheme that you may or may not be aware about. Litecoin is reducing salaries in the wake of reduced donations, which opens up an interesting point that we'll talk about in Binance offering VIP treatment for what? What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Crypto Bobby. I hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. And with the market fairly flat, up and down a percent or two across the board here or there, depending upon whether it's Bitcoin or your favorite altcoin, doesn't really matter. Market not doing all that much right now outside of the entire world freaking out about China versus the United States versus Donald Trump, going absolutely apeshit on Twitter per usual. The Fed, Jerome Powell, a lot of crazy stuff happening in the macro environment, of which I am not thoroughly competent or qualified to be really discussing outside of everybody's talking about it. So I'll let everybody else talk about it. But let's talk about what's happening right now in the crypto specific world, because there is a lot of stuff that, yes, the macro is important. Yes, all the big things happening with China and the United States and Trump's Twitter and the Fed and negative interest rates and all that type of stuff. That is obviously important. That's obviously big news. But there's also some other things that, you know, people definitely talk about, but maybe don't get the insight or the look at that they deserve. So I want to dive into that in particular. And we can kick things off with research from Elementis, and we'll talk a little bit about what Elementis is, but we can kick things off with research from Elementis in today's discussion. If you are new to the channel by any chance, though, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Do videos multiple times a week on the crypto ecosystem. And if you've been here for a while, make sure to hit that thumbs up button. It helps to get this video out to as many people as possible. And I always, always appreciate that. It helps me to buy as many buffalo chicken wraps as I possibly can. You guys know I love to eat that shit. So hey, here we are. Before we hop into that, I want to talk to you guys about my friends over at Roan. If you haven't heard about Roan yet, you are absolutely missing out. Roan is a men's performance lifestyle and premium activewear brand that is engineered for unparalleled quality and comfort. They're an absolute necessity right now for guys on the go. If you are training in the gym, jumping on an international flight, doesn't necessarily matter. It is the go-to men's clothing brand. My favorite right now, it's the workout shorts and shirt. I basically, since I run my own company now and work from home, I pretty much wear them on a 24/7 basis. But now Roan has just released their new amazing commuter collection, which is perfect for looking great and staying comfortable in the office, in the heat. The new commuter collection is fantastic with pants, polos, shirts, shorts, whatever it is, all lightweight, comfortable, wrinkle-free. And if you go to roan.com/Bobby today and use promo code Bobby, it's B-O-B-B-Y, to get 20% off your first purchase. That is roane.com/B-O-B-B-Y, promo code B-O-B-B-Y for 20% off roan.com/Bobby. Promo code Bobby. Let's hop into it. Getting into the research on Plus Token, though, if you hadn't heard about Plus Token, it was basically the BitConnect of China, or some form of the BitConnect of China. Shout out BitConnect, shout out Trayvon James, shout out Crypto Nick, shout out Ryan Hildreth, and all those homies as well. But this was pretty crazy because it really went under. Nobody talked about this in the United States. I sure as shit didn't know about it. I would assume that the vast majority of people in the US, in Europe, South America, were not aware of this, were not talking about it, didn't really know much about it, if at all. And Dovey Wan and a few other people, and shout out to Dovey for always breaking or not so breaking news, but Dovey Wan tweeted about it a while ago and kind of started the ball rolling on a lot of this. But this was crazy and continues to be crazier as companies dive into the blockchain data about it. And Elementis is a company that does on-chain data research, compliance, regulatory work, and a lot of other things. But they do some really cool stuff with visualizations. If you're interested in jobs with them, wink, wink, hit me up. You'll never know. So Elementis does really cool stuff with blockchain data. And they looked at Plus Token, and they looked at all the addresses associated with Plus Token. And there's also Bitcoin involved this as well. But Plus Token and the Plus Token scam took in at 10 million ETH, which is close to $2 billion. That is a massive massive amount of money in general. $2 billion is obviously a ton of money. But also, when you look at the actual market cap of Ethereum right now, the market cap of ETH is only $20, $21 billion. Close to 10% of the entire market cap of ETH was captured by a Ponzi scheme, by a pyramid scheme. And this basically went completely undetected by anybody, at least publicly in the US and in a variety of other places, was not really talked about at all. And some really crazy stuff happened. There are still, at this point in time, of the 10 million ETH that were collected, according to Elementis in their conclusions, according to Elementis, there were 10 million ETH that were collected. Roughly 800,000 of those ETH remain on chain and somewhat unmoved of those funds since the end of June. However, 9 million ETH was sent to a variety of Plus Token wallets, 248,000 addresses at this point in time. And the vast majority of those funds were actually moved to Huobi. 48% of the funds were moved to Huobi. And you can see here, if we scroll down, 48% went to Huobi, about 8% went to ZB.com, 6% went to Upbit, about 3% to OKX, and about 3% to Gate. So 4.3 million ETH, which is hundreds of millions of dollars, moved to Huobi. Really curious about what happened there once it got on chain, or once it went onto Huobi, if that was dumped, put into something else, if that was somehow washed out, why they chose Huobi, what the issue is there, why Huobi didn't stop it, if they were able to identify that that was from those exchanges. Very interesting to see a lot of this stuff panning out. And I think, number one, I'll put a link to the research below because it's really interesting, and it's definitely worth reading about. According to Elementis, one of the reasons that they chose this was Huobi having a strong bias. The people that were moving the money had a strong bias towards utilizing a Chinese exchange. But one of the things I think that's interesting about this is, for a lot of people, seeing this type of thing happen, you don't really see it until it's too late. But this could very well have a massive, massive, massive impact on the price of Ethereum, the price of many other assets, because you're talking about 10% of the liquid supply of Ethereum potentially being moved into another cryptocurrency, being moved into whatever it might be, to Tether, to Bitcoin, to something else. Those types of things have a really, really large impact on the market. And it's tough for the average person out there, especially, to have any insight into what's going on with this. So seeing it after the fact, and you've seen the price of Ethereum really not doing too well in comparison to Bitcoin. Curious as to if this amount of money, what happened with it, you know, if this amount of ETH, was this just market dumped or dumped over a long, long period of time, really causing the price to dip on Huobi and elsewhere, anything like that? Curious to see exactly as additional research and additional kind of exposure happens here with this whole Plus Token scam. But I mean, you're talking about 10% of the liquid supply of ETH that was collected. That's a massive, massive amount that clearly has market implications on it. And up until, we're starting to see some of the on-chain data around it, you really couldn't know. Pretty crazy to think about in the long run. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. And again, I'll put a link below to Elementis' research because it's really worth the read. Now, another thing that I think is interesting in general is open source development. I've talked about this a little bit before, where open source development is hard. It's really hard. And you have things like Bitcoin, you have things like Ethereum, and financial incentives specifically around open source development are pretty fascinating to me for a variety of reasons. Number one, if you are depending upon your contributions to open source development, if let's take Bitcoin, let's take Ethereum, and let's take Litecoin, for example. In the case of Bitcoin and in the case of Ethereum, maybe even in the case of Litecoin, some of these developers, if you're solely a core developer, you might not and you probably aren't getting paid for the work you're doing. So how do you sustain your cost of living? How do you support yourself? Are you doing it purely for passion, purely for fun? Why are you doing what you're doing? And how are you doing that? You know, in some cases, in things like Bitcoin and things like Ethereum, maybe these are people that participated in those ecosystems financially very early on and made life-changing amounts of money and are now simply working on this type of technology because they're extremely, extremely passionate about it and they want to move the industry forward. However, there are certainly developers that have bills and families and rent and whatever have you and have established cost of living. So if you are of the, you know, if you are of that ilk and you really want to participate in, if you really want to be a core developer, you really want to participate in that ecosystem and contribute code, how are you going to do that on an open source basis when nobody's paying your salary? And I think that aspect of things is fascinating because you have some companies in the space that really are subsidizing development when it does come down to core development. In the Bitcoin space, you have things like Blockstream, you have things like Chaincode Labs. Now you have places like Square, even places like Coinbase, I think, are contributing $20,000-$25,000 a month that go towards open source development as well. In Ethereum, in the Ethereum world, you have the Ethereum Foundation. You have Consensus, which doesn't necessarily contribute to the Ethereum Foundation directly or directly to, but builds infrastructure that is really utilized by the entire Ethereum ecosystem. So I'd say kind of by some respect, Consensus is basically a huge, and the entire Ethereum ecosystem is a benefactor from Consensus spokes like MetaMask and Infura and things like that. But in the case of something like Litecoin, where you know you don't have a Blockstream, you don't have Chaincode Labs, you don't have Square, you don't have a Consensus, you don't have an Ethereum Foundation that received a basically a treasury through an ICO, and to another extent, you don't have something like Zcash where you're getting a percentage of the founders' rewards through miners. Miners aren't paying a foundation or anything like that to continue to work. So nobody is paying this. So you're relying exclusively on donations. And as I think a lot of people know and probably are familiar with, when you rely exclusively on donations, it makes life very difficult. You're basically a nonprofit and you're relying on the altruism of people to support you. And right now, when it comes down to Litecoin, there's really not many people supporting the Litecoin Foundation outside of Charlie Lee. So there's kind of been this conversation around, you know, how is the Litecoin network going to continue to be sustainable? Who's actually developing this? Because people have looked at the GitHub and seen not a ton of development on the core repo, some other kind of auxiliary repos there, but not a ton on the core Litecoin repo. And people have called this FUD, like Charlie's came out and called it FUD, but is it really, is it not? And it does come down to the fact that this stuff is, number one, it's somewhat reliant on the market as a whole, but it also does go to show the issues surrounding what happens with open source development and how people need to look and think about it, and some of the issues that you have with centralization versus decentralization. Yes, decentralization is fantastic and it's wonderful, and you know, there's nobody to send a cease and desist letter to, and there's nobody to necessarily to stop the network per se, and it's great. But on the other end of the spectrum, when it's decentralized, there isn't a core entity behind it really that is actually able to subsidize the work outside of donations. And Bitcoin and Ethereum, I think, are slightly different because there was so much of a wealth generation behind Bitcoin. So you have all these people that made a ton of money, and now they're basically subsidizing development, where they've raised a bunch of money in venture capital and they're able to go through that to develop on the network. That's not the case in Litecoin right now. And you're having these issues where Litecoin came out in a recent interview where their board director, I'm not going to pronounce this right, Xingzi Wang, probably incorrectly pronounced that, but talked about the contributions to the Litecoin Foundation have dropped sharply. The GitHub showing how it's really rarely been updated. And right now, the Litecoin Foundation is only receiving about $1,000 in monthly donations. I mean, raise your hand here if you can live off $1,000 a month, and especially if you're in the U.S. Maybe internationally in some places you can live very well off $1,000 a month. But in the U.S. or in a variety of developed countries, you're not living well off the U.S. Let alone are you supporting an entire foundation or multiple salaried employees off $1,000 a month. It's not going to happen. So clearly, there's an issue right now. And not only that, but that with that $1,000 a month, 80% of the donations that have happened to the Litecoin Foundation in the past have come from Charlie Lee. 80% of those donations have come from Charlie Lee since 2017. So basically, Charlie Lee is supporting Litecoin, 100% putting the team on his back, though. And even though he sold all his Litecoin at like $300, which is the greatest trade ever, the peak trade of 2017, 2018, shout out Charlie Lee for that one, there are some really big issues around open source development. And they say, so what adjustments will the Litecoin Foundation make after this? And they said, we're considering launching a project-based crowdfunding system so people can get funded by the community directly. This will make the dev and fund management process even easier and more transparent. And then they also mentioned just the block reward process in general and how the hash rate has dropped pretty significantly. But I really don't see a good way for Litecoin to continue subsidizing development. And this is going to continue to happen in the future for some of these projects. And you look at the projects that have really kind of focused on the quote-unquote fair launch. You have things like Litecoin, which the launch happened a long time ago. So, but PO, proof of work launches with no pre-mine is what I would consider a quote-unquote fair launch. You can get into the kind of specifics around that. But when you do a proof of work launch with no subsidy, with no founder's reward, with no pre-mine, with no ICO, and there is no kind of core group that actually has an amount of money that can subsidize development, how do you create a sustainable development ecosystem? How do you create people that actually contribute to the open source world? And right now, there's not really a great answer for that. And I think Litecoin is probably going to suffer in the long run. And you might start seeing things like Grin and some of these other companies out there, or not Grin is not a company, obviously, but Grin is another one where they were very, I think, admirable in nature in the way they launched. But you even saw issues with the kind of the main developer behind Grin, who put in a ton of work for free and wasn't paid by anybody and didn't have anything like that. The main developer behind that was like really struggling initially to even afford his own cost of living. So that type of thing is something to keep in mind when you're looking at different projects, because ultimately people have to pay their rent, people have to pay their mortgage, people have to pay their salary, people have to pay whatever. And if they can't do that, they're not going to continue to develop on a technology. And if nobody's developing on the technology in the long run, while Dogecoin is still worth like $200 million, you might end up a little bit like Dogecoin. You might end up a little bit like some of these other assets that are probably going to trend towards zero in the long run. And lastly, it's kind of funny because I think Binance can be the king of spin. There was obviously the hacking that one of the hackings that happened with Binance, and they had a number of people who basically they utilized a third party vendor in 2017, 2018 for KYC, and that third party vendor was hacked, and they had some images released and specifically like passports and just KYC details. And the way they're kind of compensating their users for that who are affected by this hack is that they're giving them VIP accounts on the site, lifetime VIP accounts or VIP accounts. And I think that is the king of it's like, hey, you know what? We may have been slightly irresponsible with your data. We may have made a mistake, but hey, you know what? Stick around, folks. We got you for a lifetime access. But I think it does in many respects go to show that, CZ and just Binance in general are really good at taking negative occurrences and turning them into positive spins. It's pretty incredible how that continues to happen. Like, there have been many things I think that Binance would probably like to do over, and many times that they've had issues, and whether it's been their hack or anything else, like there have been many things that have not played out perfectly for them. But like, even the headline, like, Binance offers VIP accounts to hacked users. Like, it's not like hacked users on, it doesn't make the headline actually softens the blow. And I feel like Binance, every time something negative happens to them, they're able to successfully like kind of you know, deft the situation and soften the blow, which is pretty crazy to see in real time and always watch how that goes down. But would love to hear your thoughts on everything in general. You know, what you think about the plus token issues with Ethereum, what you think about Litecoin and open source development. Like, is Litecoin going to be sustainable? Is open source development with a fair launch proof of work cryptocurrency and no pre-mine, no ICO, is that sustainable? It sounds great to invest in, but who's actually going to build it? What do you think about that? And what do you think about the Binance offering VIP accounts to your hacked users? Would love to hear from you in the comments below on YouTube. And if you're listening on the podcast, make sure that you hit me up on Twitter @crypto_Bobby as always. Really appreciate the time. If you're new to the channel by any chance, make sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you have been around, hit the damn like button so I can eat as many buffalo chicken wraps as possible. Take it easy, Crypto Bobby. Peace.